This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new week of broadcast on the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us not only today, but every day this week as we continue our tradition of bringing you beautiful Christian music and Christmas music right now, and inspiring preaching and teaching from the Word of God as preached by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now, today and all of this week, we continue with our verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts. So then next week, we're going to take a break from that and hear seven beautiful Christmas messages by Dr. Green leading up to Christmas Day. So do not miss that next week. Now, right now, let's hear There's a Song in the Air and then the message.
There's a song in the air. There's a star in the sky. There's a mother's deep prayer and a baby's low cry. And the star
a tumult of joy for the wonderful birth, for the virgin sweet boy is the Lord of the earth. Aye, the star rains its fire while the beautiful sing, for the manger of Bethlehem.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Lead us, our Father, as we open thy word today. In Jesus' name, honor the word and save some soul for Christ's sake. Amen. Now, last broadcast in the series, we discussed verse 7 in Acts 6. And we learned that many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, that really cost the men, that is, the priest, it really cost them in many, many ways to be obedient to the faith. Notice, the faith, and of course that is the faith once for all delivered unto the saints. Now in verse 8, and Stephen, now he's the first deacon, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now I'm just going to read that verse, and we may go further, we probably will, but I'm just reading that verse now. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, Stephen is not a disciple or an apostle or a preacher or an evangelist. He is just a deacon, just a deacon. Now, beloved, we might as well face facts, and there's no need to deny facts. Now, God is the same God. God does not change. Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, and forever. God doesn't change. God's word does not change. But God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Now, during the transition period, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean the period when the church was taking over where Judaism left off. Now, when they said, crucify the king, we don't want Jesus, we have no king but Caesar. Of course, God postponed, that is, God turned through the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles, and in the message to the Gentiles, God is calling out a Gentile bride made up of all peoples of the earth, primarily Gentiles. But when this age comes to a close, the church will be caught out to meet Jesus in the clouds, and then God will deal with this earth in another specific manner, not like God's dealing today. Now, in the Old Testament era, the Holy Ghost came upon men, and of course, he came upon beasts on occasions. You remember Balaam's donkey. Balaam's donkey spoke. He talked. Balaam's little donkey. And God, in the Old Testament, in the Holy Ghost, came upon men, and he departed, and so on. But since the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost has been in the world, and he, the Holy Ghost, abides in the heart of every believer. Now, let's face it, beloved, we just don't have any deacons like Stephen today. Well, you say, Brother Green, whose fault is it? Well, now listen, during the transition period, God gave to men unusual power and ability, and God sent signs and wonders according to God's own will. Now you read Hebrews 2:4. God gave men unusual power, and God worked and God wrought special miracles through Paul and others, of course, Stephen and others. Now Stephen was a man full of faith. The faith of Stephen was different than the faith of the priest. Now what do you mean, Brother Green? Well, the priests were obedient to the faith. But Stephen was full of faith. Now, listen. Every born-again child of God has been obedient to the faith. The only way to become a child of God is to be obedient to the faith. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God. Jesus said, he that heareth my word. Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they are life. And there's no way to be born again apart from hearing the Word of God. And hearing the Word brings saving faith. And so every believer has faith, but every believer is not full of faith. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we are obedient to the faith when we're born again. But as we study the Word of God, as we feed upon the Word of God, as the Word of God absolutely permeates our heart, our soul, our spirit and mind and being, in other words, the more we are yielded to the Word of God and the more saturated we are with the Word of God, the more faith we are able to exercise in God. Now, beloved, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the reason Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved, unto God a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, 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 give attendance to reading, he said, study. In other words, Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now that's the Word. That's the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And so when we actually appropriate, we actually eat the Word of God. We take it into our very soul, into our very spirit, into our very being. It increases, it strengthens our faith. And Stephen was a man full of faith. He was obedient to the faith, but he was more than obedient. He was filled. He was a man that exercised faith. He had faith in the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, almighty, miracle-working God. And a man who is completely yielded to God and completely permeated by the Word of God, that man is a man of power. And so Stephen was a man of power. I just read the verse. Stephen was full of faith, and he was full of power. Full of power. Now, we have a lot of ordinary Christians today. Ordinary Christians, borderline. They are saved. They've obeyed the faith. They have obeyed the word. They heard the word. They obeyed the word. They received the word, and they're born again. But they are not powerful Christians. They're borderline Christians. They're just ordinary Christians. They're just average Christians. But Jesus said, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible with you or under you. Now, Jesus also said, if ye abide in me, now that means you're born again, and my words abide in you, that means you are filled with the word of God, permeated, controlled by the word of God, saturated with the word of God. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Now that's John 15:7. Beloved, God has not changed. The word has not changed. But today people are so busy, and this in this age. Now let me say this. Listen, beloved. In the transition period, they were living in another age, another world, another day. Now, let me say this. One reason I love the old books. I love old books. Books written by Marsh and Dixon and Moody and Spurgeon and these great old men, Scofield, these old timers, beloved, they had time to study. They had time to write. They spent a year preparing one book, sometimes two or three or even 5 years they spent preparing one book. And when they finished it, mister, it was meat. I mean meat for the soul. Now today, we're living at such a rapid pace, and we're living in such a fast world. We don't have time to study. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to meditate. We're going. Listen, now I hope you don't misunderstand me. I believe in soul winning. I believe in revival. I believe in Bible study. I believe in missionary conferences. But beloved, most churches keep their members so busy, they don't have time to study. Now, that's right. Now, some churches, of course, the liberal and the modern churches, they have some kind of a party or supper or fair or some kind of a something, well, two-thirds of the time, and of course, they're not interested in studying. But I'm talking about even the best churches, even the best, they keep their members so busy, and there's something going every night of the week, every night except Saturday night, and people just don't have time to meditate and study and feed upon the Word of God. Now, Stephen had time. He had time. He wasn't in any hurry back in that day. People had time to pray. They had time to study. They had time to fellowship. They had time to get together. Jesus went out on the mountainside, sat by the seashore. They had time. They weren't in any hurry. Now, faith believes God. Faith magnifies God. Faith accepts God as the omnipotent one. And faith believes what God says without any questions at all. No question marks at all. Faith is powerful. Faith is powerful. Faith produces power, and power produces results. Not only was Stephen a man full of faith and full of power, but he was a man filled with wisdom. He was a man of wisdom. Now, how do we get wisdom? How do we obtain wisdom? We find the answer in James chapter 1. I read, listen, if any of you lack what? Wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. So you see, faith is the foundation. Faith. In other words, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now, wisdom is a gift from Almighty God, and God gives to men wisdom who are men of faith and who will ask in faith, nothing wavering, nothing doubting, but ask believing, then God will bestow upon a man wisdom. Wisdom is definitely the gift of God to those who will claim it by faith. Now, if we have wisdom and we study and we apply the wisdom that God gives us, then we acquire more knowledge of the Word of God and of God and of the things of God and of the Spirit of God. And the more we know about the Word of God and the more we believe in and trust in and rely upon the Word of God, the more faith we'll have. So let me say again, without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith, for he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. That is, with the whole heart, with the whole soul, and with the whole mind. Diligently seek God. And God gives faith, and God gives wisdom. Now, if you'll read, and I don't have time today, but if you'll read the 11th chapter of Acts, you'll find that the men who have accomplished great things for God have been men like Stephen, men of faith. Let me read just a few verses in Hebrews 11:32. And what shall I say more say? This is Hebrews 11:32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and Jabez and David and Samuel and of the prophets. See, the prophets. Now read. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Now, that's the case of the apostles. You remember these apostles were weak and they were faithless and they were afraid. And the night Jesus was arrested, they ran, they hid. But you remember after Pentecost, they were men as bold as lions. And beloved, they were not afraid of anything or anybody. They preached the Word of God because they had faith. They had met Jesus in a very real way as he revealed to them through the Holy Ghost his word and gave them power. And they became witnesses. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness made strong, waxed violent, valiant in fight, and turned flight to armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised. Women receive their dead raised. Now think of it. Think of it, beloved. Men and women of faith. Faith did it. Faith in God. Faith in the power of God. Faith in the miracle working power of Almighty God. Others were tortured accepting deliverance, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others a trial, cruel mocking, scourging, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. That's Paul. Paul was stoned, dragged outside the city. Stephen, we'll see a little later in this chapter where we're studying in Acts chapter 6, chapter 7. We'll see Stephen stoned. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. And they were tempted, slain with a sword. They wandered in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, mountains, and dens, and caves of the earth. And all these having obtained a good report through faith, amen, through faith, received not the promise. Watch it now. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Hallelujah. When that first resurrection occurs, when the rapture occurs, when the dead in Christ are raised incorruptible, then we'll all be perfect in the presence of our perfect Redeemer. Glory to God. Stephen was a man full of faith. He was full of power. He was full of wisdom. He was a man of wisdom. And he did many wonderful miracles and many wonders among the people. Then there arose certain in the synagogue called the Cyrenians, the Alexandrians. That sounds like some of our folks today, doesn't it, huh? That sounds like some of the names that we have today. And they rose up and they disputed with Stephen. Now watch this. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. They could not resist the wisdom of Stephen. They could not resist the spirit. He was filled with the spirit. He was filled with faith. He was filled with power. He was filled with wisdom. And he worked miracles to the glory of God. Then they suborned men. Now that means they hired or persuaded men to lie. Webster tells us that word means the same thing as one being liable. In other words, if you lie, if you swear to tell the truth and you lie, then of course you're guilty and you can be tried and put in jail and fined. So they hired or they summoned liars and they said, "We heard this man speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." Now that's a lie because they knew it. Stephen never spoke a word against against Moses, and he never spoke a word against God. And they stirred up the people, and the elders and the scribes came upon him and caught him and brought him into the council. Now, the Sanhedrin, I suppose. And they set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Glory to God for Stephen, a man filled with the Holy Spirit, a man filled with faith, a man filled with wisdom. And his enemies could not understand. They could not resist his powerful words, his wisdom, and his ability to give forth words that arrested them and made them sit up and take notice. I want to say today, I want to say that God hasn't changed, the word hasn't changed, but man has. We're living in a very, very sad hour of this dispensation of grace. We're living in a very sad hour of this dispensation of grace, and it's not going to get any better. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. No, it's not going to get any better. I'm sorry to say, the world has lost respect for the church. The world did at one time respect the church. And the world at one time, I'm talking about sinners, I'm talking about ungodly men, at one time they respected the church as being an institution, an organization that had something that no other organization on earth has. But now, many churches have been turned into a social hall, and they have a much larger cafeteria than they do auditorium. They have a much larger gymnasium than they do auditorium. They have many more games than they do revivals and prayer meetings. I'm not critical. It breaks my heart, and God knows it breaks my heart. Beloved, the church is an organization, yea, an organism that has a job to do on this earth that no other organization on the face of the earth can do. I mentioned the other day when I was talking about the deacons, we have allowed the secular organizations to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and put shoes on the feet of little children. We've allowed the secular organizations to get the praise and the honor and the glory that should go to Jesus. And they can do that. They can do that. They can feed the hungry. They can clothe the destitute. But no organization on earth can take the place of the spiritual ministry of the church. The church has the message. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the church of the living God. The ministers who are called of God. The deacons who are ordained of God. We, those of us who are born again, those of us who are ministers and deacons and leaders in the church, and those of us who are born again church members in the church of the living God, we have the only message that'll cure the ills of this old world. We have the only message that'll save sinners and make honest men out of thieves and sober men out of drunkards and ladies out of harlots. The only message is the word of God, the word that Stephen preached in power, in wisdom, and they could not resist his wisdom and his power. God give us an anointing of the power that Stephen had. God pity us and God help us is my prayer. Father, honor thy word, the shed blood, the name of Jesus, and save souls today for Christ's sake. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, and before we close today, I want to let you know that we are now in the second and final week of our Gift Offer E. Gift Offer E contains three great items for you, and it's available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $10 or more. And then I feel almost everyone out there can add a little bit to help us with the postage and handling, and also to help buy more time on the radio. If you can make it $15, $20, $50, or even more, I urge you to do so, because your gifts, your donations are needed every single day here at the program. But if you can send a donation of at least $10 and ask for Gift Offer E. Remember, you must ask for the gift offer in order to receive it, because we have many of our listeners send in donations every week or every month and never ask for any literature or CDs in return. But we are happy to send you this great offer, Gift Offer E, if you remember to ask for it and send the donation of $10 or more. Now, what's in Gift Offer E? First of all, a CD of Christmas music by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians. We call it Great Tidings of Joy, a wonderful collection of about 12 songs, such as Away in a Manger, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, What Child Is This, Joy to the World, Angels We Have Heard on High. Some of these you've heard on the radio as we bring you the daily broadcast. So this is a wonderful album to have. Then we have a 2-CD set called Celebrating His Birth in Sermon and Song, Volume 1. I'll tell you in your package how to get Volume 2. Now, the sermon on the first CD is The Gift of God. And then we have another CD of music for you, starting off with Silent Night, with a scripture reading by my dad. A beautiful, beautiful version of this with the scripture reading. Plus 10 other songs that I know you'll enjoy. Finally, we have a 4-page tract just for Christmas, a gift for you. Of course, it can be used year-round, but especially for Christmas, a gift for you. I'm sending you 5 copies, and I hope that you will order more. I'll tell you how to do that. So to get all 3 of these great items, just ask for Gift Offer E and send your gift of at least $10. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.